It's good to be with you today, and we are in our Foundations series today. We are talking a little bit about prayer and spiritual warfare today. If you have not been around for very long, the message that you are about to hear will probably be very new to you. A lot of the things that we're going to talk about today may shake you a little bit to your core if you're going to hold them close. And so if you've heard these things before, then they will be a good reminder to us. And so we are going to start right in. So look at your neighbor, say, get ready.
Get ready.
Ready. All right. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Here we have, as we will find out throughout the message today, we have the beginning of a call to arms, so to speak, a challenge from the author of this, which was Paul, to have us pick up spiritual arms and prepare ourselves for spiritual battle. And right off the bat, before he gets into the deep part of it, he says, "We are not fighting against flesh and blood." What that means is that humans are never our enemy. They're not the problem. Sometimes humans look like they are the problem, but they aren't. They're not the ones that we are fighting against. What we are fighting against is these other categories called mighty evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Those are not humans. Mighty powers in this dark world, not humans. And evil spirits in heavenly places. These are all different spiritual entities. These are what we would call fallen angels, demons, devils, things like that. These are spiritual agents that have their own free will, and they are creating destruction in this world and sometimes in your life. It is as if there is a constant weight of darkness surrounding us, that we live in a world where there is a pervasive darkness constantly trying to invade our lives. If you're being honest, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The enemy will try to invade your life through your actions, through your thoughts. Like, where did that thought come from? Trying to invade your thoughts, trying to invade your actions, even trying to invade your words. You know what I'm talking about in those moments where you think to yourself, I wish I could take that back. You said something like, oh, I didn't mean that. We are being warned in this scripture. We are being warned that we are in a real battle. Like right now, I'm in a real battle with that cell phone that's going off. We are being warned that we are in a real battle. And so when you are in a real battle, you act differently. We're not in a pretend battle. We're not in a war reenactment. We're not in a script battle. We're not in a water war. We're not shooting squirt guns at each other and water balloons. It's a real battle. It's a real war. In 1 Peter, another writer in Scripture says this, along the same lines. He says, stay alert, watch out. Stay alert, watch out, for your greatest enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. If you've ever felt like the whole world is against you, probably the whole world wasn't against you, but the devil was against you. And you're like, oh, that makes sense. Because it was like somebody was just coming after me no matter what, relentlessly. And if you feel that way right this very second, that's where it's coming from. And so we are warned that we are in a real war, we're in a real battle, and that we are supposed to stay alert, watch out. What that means is we're supposed to stand guard. We're supposed to watch. We're supposed to look. We're really supposed to pay attention. And so there's three things you need to do when you stand guard. You need to stop. You need to look. You need to listen. Tell your neighbor, stop, look, and listen. Okay? So the first thing when you're standing guard is you stop. That means that you pause daily in your life. You pause. You stop. Maybe you pause at a certain time every day and perhaps other times throughout the day, but you have pause in your life. I'm going to call that pause in your life, the thing that you should be doing when you're stopping, is what we'll call intentional prayer. Intentional prayer. It's not accidental prayer. It's not like a help me Jesus prayer. It's an intentional moment of prayer. And this is what I would call a date. You need to go out on a date with Jesus every single day. Just go out on a date with Jesus. Some of you may be like, what's a date? It's been a while since I've been on one. We go out on a date with Jesus every single day. You know, I go out on dates all the time with my wife. My wife and I have a weekly date night. Every Tuesday night, we go out on a date. Double dates don't count as a date. Like a date, just me and my wife, just us, every Tuesday. Sometimes I'll say to people, well, what's your date night? I mean, I'll say, do you guys go out on a date each week? And they'll say, yeah, we go out on a date each week. And I'll say, what night is your date night? And they don't have an answer. They're like, well, you know, sometimes it's Saturday. Sometimes they don't go out on dates. They're lying to me, okay? If you have a date night, you know exactly what night it is, all right? We also go out for breakfast in the week, nearly every Monday morning, just the two of us. And my wife and I have been married for 25 years. We're shooting for that 75 date, you know, that 75 number. Then we dated for 3 years before that. And just in case you're confused about this, dating and being married are not the same. It's not the same thing. Same thing. We could talk about that another time, perhaps. And I know a lot about my wife. I know what the tone of her voice means. And every variation. If I ask, what do you mean? I actually already know the answer. Okay. I know what her gestures mean. I know what the shape and look of her eyes means. I know what the way that she sits means. I know what every different sigh means. If she's at the house before I get home, I know how she is feeling before I see her or hear her. I just know. I know what the style of her hair means. It's all good things. I know you guys laugh, but I meant only good things. Why? Because I've spent the last 28 years of my life getting to know her. Gone on over 1,500 evening dates with her, over 1,500 breakfast dates with her, over 100 vacations with Jen. We know a lot about each other because we have set aside time and considered that time untouchable. It's untouchable. Now that's an interesting idea, to have untouchable moments in your life. This is what I call sacred space. You need to have sacred space for important things. So if that makes sense in your relationships, would it not make sense in your relationship with Jesus to have untouchable moments with Jesus? It's just untouchable. Somebody wants you to go do something during your date with Jesus. You're like, hey, I got an appointment. My schedule's full then. I got something extremely important to do. But it's an emergency. It'll wait. You have untouchable moments. And when you have these untouchable moments with Jesus, they build. They build on each other. You understand Jesus better. You know that he understands you better. There's also unintentional moments with Jesus. These are what I call scattered prayer. You have intentional prayer moments and you have scattered prayer moments. This would be the equivalent of like a random text to somebody that you love. You know, just throughout the day, you're touching base with somebody. Hey, how are you doing? I'm shopping. That's nice. Have a good day. You know, just simple. Doesn't seem like a big deal. You're just checking in throughout the day. You can do this with Jesus. I can give you a cell phone later. You're like, really? Can I? No, I cannot. But you need to have moments where you're just checking in with Jesus throughout the day. It gives the opportunity to kind of have a midday correction. Having a rough moment, boom, touch base with Jesus. It gives the opportunity to understand the direction that Jesus has for you. And all of this time with Jesus gives you the chance to recognize he has true freedom for you and that you can really live in that freedom. And these all build on each other. When you do this over the course of your life, not just a week or a month, but year after year after year after year, you recognize that you will have good moments in life and you will have bad moments in life. And you'll have moments where it seems impossible to go on. But when you keep going out with Jesus, you begin to understand on the deepest of levels. You begin to understand the character of God. You begin to understand his compassion for you. You begin to understand the purposes and plans that God has for you. Because you have created untouchable moments and time in your life with Jesus. So the first thing you need to do is stop. Have these prayer moments. The second thing you need to do is to look. Tell your neighbor, look, look, look. This is where you stay alert. This is where you watch out. This is where you are paying attention to what's going on in your life and around you. This is where you train yourself to ask spiritual questions. Everybody pay attention to this. Train yourself to ask spiritual questions every day. You don't just go through life going through the motions, but ask spiritual questions throughout the day. Many times we try to solve things naturally in our life that are in fact spiritual in nature. And you can't figure out why you can't deal with it because it's not a natural problem, it's a spiritual problem. And you have to fix it spiritually. You cannot solve a spiritual problem with a natural solution. Understand that, tweet that, text that to somebody else. You cannot solve a spiritual problem with a natural solution. For example, let's just pick on something that we all experience in life, and that is something called sickness. If you take sickness as an example, there are three basic ways that we know where sickness comes from. Why is there sickness in the world? Why do I experience sickness? Why do other people experience sickness? We know this. We know the one place that sickness comes from is just the polluted nature of our world. And I don't mean physical pollution. I mean spiritual pollution. I mean that we have were born into a world that was spiritually polluted. We have something called original sin that is passed down generation to generation. There's nothing you can do about that. It's just the nature of the world we live in creates sickness in the lives of people. That's one place. The second place is this. The second place is what I will call unhealthy habits. Or what the Bible calls the bad effects of bad living. These are natural things. You get sick because you've been involved in unhealthy living for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. And you get sick. That is most likely not a spiritual problem. That's a natural problem. It's just the natural consequences, the bad effects of bad living. Then the third place that sickness comes from is the spiritual attack of the enemy. Similar to where that cell phone keeps coming off from right now. Right now. Just step on it, break it. So there's a spiritual attack of the enemy that takes place as well. That is when the enemy has targeted you or your family and just keeps coming after you relentlessly under attack by the enemy. That is different. Now pay attention to this. That is different than just a natural sickness. It may look the same, but it comes from a different place. And so you have these three different places where sickness comes from, at least those three places. Several years ago, I got very sick. I ended up in the hospital. And it was 100% definitely the result of the bad effects of bad living, called an unhealthy diet. All right? You know, if you live the first 40 years of your life eating whatever you want, that's kind of what happens. So I did the things I needed to do. I received medical attention. Also prayed for healing during that time. So even though, this is kind of cool, even though you can't solve a spiritual problem with a natural means, you can fight a natural problem with spiritual weapons. So that's kind of a bonus, right? That we can fight with spiritual weapons against natural problems. Sometime after I got out of the hospital, I ended up feeling worse than I did when I went in. And I laid down in bed, felt like death, and the Holy Spirit whispered to me, this is true, the Holy Spirit came and whispered to me and said, "You are under spiritual attack now." In other words, this isn't the same thing. It just looks like the same thing. Feels like the same thing. The Holy Spirit whispered, "You are under spiritual attack." So I immediately called my wife and girls to come into the room and pray for me, to rebuke the enemy. They laid hands on me, they prayed for me, they rebuked the enemy, and immediately I began to get better. Now, here's the point. Sometimes things are natural. Sometimes things are spiritual. Fight accordingly. And sometimes things are both. And so use every weapon you have all the time. It's important that I listened to the Holy Spirit. And it's important that you stop, that you look, and that you listen as well. You look around, see what's going on. You listen for the direction of God. And how you listen to the voice of God, how you listen to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is you hear God. You begin to hear God once you become familiar with His Word, the Word of God. If you're not familiar with the Bible, if you're not familiar with the Word of God, you will not be able to discern whether it is God speaking to you or yourself speaking to you. And once you begin to be familiar with the presence of God, when you've had a lot of dates with Jesus, when you've had intentional prayer moments, you begin to understand and can discern because you know the voice of God. You can hear His voice because you know His voice. So that all comes through prayer as well. So you stop, you look, you listen, and then when you realize everything that's going on, you call in the reinforcements. That one day when I called in the reinforcements, it was my wife and daughters. Okay? For you, it might be the same. It might be you calling a friend. It might getting you to have people in your life that will join you in the fight of your life. Listen, if all the friends in your life don't know how to spiritually fight on your behalf, get different friends. Okay? If you come to church and you're with your friends and they're like holding you back from getting all of Jesus, move to another place in the room. All right? Make sure you're going all in with Jesus and that you have people in your life that are right there with you. Because you are in a spiritual fight and you need people to fight with you. Now you've got to fight, but you need people to fight with you. People that will pray for you, people that will pray for you when you ask, people that will not go home and forget, people that will stand with you no matter what, even if you mess up, even if you crash and burn, even if you end up in the gutter, but that moment you reach up your hand and say, "Help," they are right there. You need to call in the reinforcements. In the scripture, we are given these warfare strategies, these battle orders, these marching orders, these how to survive in a complicated world that is filled with spiritual darkness, spiritual ugliness. It informs us that we will be in a battle. We don't have a choice. It's just the way it is. And it will be necessary for us. If we want territory, we will have to protect our territory. And we are also supposed to take new territory. Ephesians 6:13 continuing from our passage earlier. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So here we have, we've talked about this a lot, so I won't go into it much at the moment. But you have basically this battle armor you're supposed to wear, which are all spiritual in nature. And ready to go to spiritual battle to win. So spend some time looking at that, Ephesians chapter 6. But then in verse 18, it's like it just changes course. It's like it's highlighted in a different way by the author. He says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So as you are looking at this and you're thinking about this in your own life, you need to take territory. You need to keep the territory God gives you. He's just like I said, as Paul's done giving these strategies, he gives focused attention to this idea of praying in the Spirit. In the book of Jude, it says, you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Again, we see this idea, praying in the Spirit. We actually see this expression, praying in the Spirit, in a variety of ways throughout the New Testament. It's said enough, it's highlighted enough in some very important parts that we need to give it some really significant attention. It's like the Bible is telling us, of all the ways to pray, and there are a lot, of all the ways to pray, always make sure to pray in the Spirit. Now, it's an interesting expression, praying in the Spirit. If we went out onto the street with a microphone and said, hey, what does praying in the Spirit mean? People would not know what that meant. You might look to your neighbor right now and say, what does praying in the Spirit mean? And there might be a lot of guessing going on in the room. It's not an obvious thing. It's not just obvious, oh, this is obviously what it means. There is a little bit of confusion. So I want to bring some enlightenment to this. What is praying in the Spirit? If it's so important, then what is it? So let's talk about that. Praying in the Spirit is something that can be understood in at least two ways. Sometimes when people read the Bible and they come to something they don't understand, they spend a lot of time focusing, they come up with one answer, and they feel like that's the only possible thing that could mean. This is one of those moments where that would make the Bible speak too narrowly. It probably means more than just one thing. For example, I believe that praying in the Spirit can mean at least two things. Praying in a manner that you understand, and also praying in a manner that you don't understand. So, when you're praying in the Spirit, it could mean be attentive to how the Spirit of God will lead you to pray. Let's say you're praying for somebody, you're not 100% what's going on, but you're praying for them. As you begin to pray, you feel in your spirit to pray very directly about a certain thing. You just have an understanding about something that you weren't aware of before. You begin to pray, that's called praying in the Spirit. You begin to pray towards that, and God does a work in the other person's life. Or it could be yourself that you're praying for in the same manner. So that would be a version of praying in the Spirit. But then there is another way to pray in the Spirit. Why does it only have to be one? Throughout the New Testament, we see that there is another way to pray in the Spirit, and that is a language that God gives you. It's an interesting gift. It's a spiritual language, a heavenly language. It's a language that you will most likely not understand what you are praying, but you are praying in the Spirit. This is called speaking in tongues or praying in tongues or a personal prayer language. There's a lot of different expressions for it. But my point is this. The Bible says, pray in the Spirit at all times. So when you pray in the Spirit, you may as well pray both ways. Pray with your understanding and about things you don't understand, but the Spirit is praying through you, through a special spiritual language. It's all right to recognize that God's understanding is broad on an issue like this. So pray in the Spirit at all times. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 says, be on guard. Here we have this battle language again. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. It's like we are being told over and over and over again, you are in a battle. You are in a war. Fight like you're in a war that is life or death, because you are in a war that is life or death. It's life or death language. It's fight language. It's language that says this is hard, but it's also language that in the context says this is hard, but you are able to overcome. You are able to overcome because of Christ Jesus. And because of Jesus, you will win. That's really an important part of this. You will win because Jesus has already won. And you come underneath Jesus. Here's the idea. You all have territory in your life. Say territory. You all have territory. We all have territory in our life. We have spiritual territory. We have physical territory, mental territory, emotional territory, relational territory. And when you start off with Jesus, when you just begin your relationship with Jesus, you just have a little bit of territory. You just have a little bit. Jesus rescue you. You are set free. You are no longer a captive, but you have just a little bit of territory. Because of the forgiveness and leadership of Jesus, you get that. And your territory comes underneath the governance or authority of the kingdom of God. And so you are free, truly free. But in order to have an abundant life, the life that is full that God promises, you have to go and evict the enemy out of all the rest of your territory. It's because your whole life, the enemy has held you captive until you find Jesus, till Jesus rescues you. He's held you captive, and so he's living in your territory that belongs to you, that rightfully, legally is yours. So hold with me. For those of you that were here for our Exodus series, the first part, you were still in the cliffhanger. If you go all the way back, God tells Moses, go set my people free. He's supposed to set the Israelite slaves that are in Egyptian slavery, he's to set them free. Take them to the land of Canaan that God has promised them. That is their territory. It belongs to Israel. They're supposed to go to Israel. The problem is the enemy is living in their territory. So they have to evict the enemy out of their territory. We'll get to that at a later time. But that's what they have to do. Just like in our life, we have territory that legally belongs to us the enemy is operating in that territory. We have to evict the enemy out of our territory. That's legal language. It's spiritual language, but it's also legal language because it rightfully belongs to you. So who are you evicting? You are evicting evil rulers, evil spirits, and mighty powers. That's what we read about earlier. These are all demons. Out of your territory. If you've never heard any of this stuff before, your mind is going right now. Like, what? They are in your territory. They need to leave. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. You evict them and their influence out of your house, out of your mind, out of your relationship, out of your physical situations. You evict them. They are no longer permitted to be there. One day I heard some crying going on in my backyard. And it sounded like there was a boy crying in my backyard. I only have girls, so I did not know why there was a boy crying in my backyard. So I went to the porch and I saw that the neighbor boy was crying because the girls kept winning at whatever game they were playing. He was older than the girls, but it wasn't really crying. It was more like whining. He was whining. And I went to the backyard and I said to this young boy, "Are you whining in my yard?" He began to whine some more. And I pointed to his yard next door and I said this, "We do not allow whining in our yard. If you want to whine, you will have to go to your yard." It's true. He started to make an excuse. And I said, "Go whine over there." So he did. He left the yard. He looked at me very strangely, stopped whining. As soon as he got into his own yard, he started whining again. And from time to time, I'd hear him outside playing with his sisters in his own yard, and he would whine. But whenever he came to my yard, he never whined again. Never. When you tell the enemy to go, and this boy was not the enemy, he was just a cute little boy. But when you tell the enemy to go, that this is not allowed on your turf, in your territory, he has to go, but he will push back. And you have to resist him pushing back. If you don't resist, he will just stay. You have to resist the enemy. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." It's a promise. It's warfare strategy. It's battle tactics. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Now, some of you, I know how this works. You're like, "But I said no." There's saying no, and then there's saying no. And just saying no once half-heartedly probably isn't enough. I mean, you got to kick and scream and fight and yell. Something be tough, spiritually tough. Just give it back to the enemy. And for some of you, that's just a strong stare down to the enemy. You're quiet but deadly. Others of you, it's loud. Everybody does it different. But whatever it is, it ends up the same thing. Not in my house, Satan. Not in my territory is this going to happen. I'm not okay with this in my territory. And so in Jesus' name, get out. In Jesus' name, get out. In the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the powerful name of Jesus, in the overcoming name of Jesus, be gone, Satan. Be gone, Satan. You need to recognize and you need to be able to say, "By the blood of Jesus, I am protected. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I am free in Jesus' name. I am whole in Jesus' name. I am forgiven. I am not who I used to be. I am a child of the Most High God. Now get out of my territory. Get out now. Get out now." Now, you might say it a little different than that. But the thing that you need to learn how to say is, "In the name of Jesus." Say it right now. In the name of Jesus. Why? Why do you need to say that? You say it because of this. It's not your own power. It's not your own authority. It's the power and authority of Jesus. So you are resisting the enemy because you are a child of God. Because of the power and authority of Jesus. When you say "in the name of Jesus," because Jesus has got my back. Because Jesus is right here telling you to go as well. That's what all that means. Would everybody go ahead and stand with me right now? Everybody look at me. Does anybody in this room right now, you need to do this in your life? The enemy has been pushing into your territory. The enemy kind of hangs out in your territory, causes all kinds of chaos in all the different territories of your life. Seriously, you walked in here today, overwhelmed, scattered, broken. And you're like, I can't figure out how to do my life. I can't figure out how to break through this. I've done as much natural effort on this as I possibly can, and it still owns me. It's time for you to exert spiritual power. You need to fight this spiritually. You need to evict the enemy from all the territory in your life. Is there anybody in this room that needs to do that today? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Yeah? Would you do yourself a favor? Would you just come up here right now? Stand. Don't kneel right now. Just come up here and stand. Come up here and stand. We're gonna start to do this right now. We're gonna start to do this right now. Anybody else? You need to evict the enemy out of your territory. Anybody else? Come on up. Now, for those of you that has somebody up here, I would like you to reinforce your family up here, your friends up here. Like reinforcing the troops. You're the ones we're calling in. So come on up and join them. Or if you can't get to them, just stretch out a hand towards them right now. So if you've come up here today to evict the enemy out of your territory, listen to this. In your own words, begin to identify the territory in your life where the enemy is kind of bringing chaos, destruction, whatever it is. Recognize what it is. Just be honest about it between you and God. Then when you are ready, you just declare that you are a child of God and that in the name of Jesus, Satan, you are a victim. Satan, you no longer have a place in this area of my life. Go. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. For some of you, that's quiet. For some of you, that's loud. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you recognize who you are in Jesus Christ and you begin to evict the enemy out of those areas. You have fought this naturally long enough. Now begin to fight it spiritually. Begin to fight it spiritually in Jesus' name. Go ahead, right now, wherever you are. The enemy has invaded your spiritual territory. Acknowledge what's going on and evict Satan out of your spiritual territory. The enemy has invaded your physical condition. Physically, you have been invaded by a work of the enemy. Then spiritually begin to attack that. Battle strategies are evict the enemy. Step one, acknowledge it. Step two, evict the enemy out of that situation. Evict the enemy right now in Jesus' name. If your family right now, if your family territory is under attack, if you are spiritually under attack in your family, don't just let it happen. Not just a natural problem. There is a spiritual component to it. And in the name of Jesus, Satan, you are out of my family. You are out of my house. Get out of my yard. You are not permitted here any longer. If you've ever participated with any of the enemy's junk, any of the stuff that he likes to do, if you've ever participated, if you've ever enjoyed it, if you've ever gotten trapped or sucked up into it, then right now, you just begin to recognize that you are renouncing it. You no longer participate with it. You reject any participation you've ever had with it. And in the name of Jesus, you are free right now in Jesus' name. Just begin to do that right now in Jesus' name. We reject all participation with those things, with those activities, with those thoughts, no matter what it is, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Be patient, everybody. Be patient right now. Don't rush. Stand guard. Stand guard. Watch out. Resist. Stand guard. Watch out. Resist. The enemy, if the enemy has been hanging out in your emotions, or if the enemy has been hanging out in your mental situation, just flooding your thoughts, flooding your mind, you can't shake it. It's just every negative thought, every depressed thought, every horrible thought, and you don't even know where these things come from. Right now, begin to reject those thoughts in Jesus' name. The Bible says to take captive every thought and force it to be obedient to Jesus. Force those thoughts right now to be obedient to Jesus. Jesus. And when you begin to have those thoughts, you say, in Jesus' name, be gone. In Jesus' name, be gone. I will not participate with fear any longer. I will not participate with fear at all any longer. I will not allow fear to own my life any longer. In Jesus' name, be gone. You are not allowed in this territory any longer. Jesus. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Right now, just let Jesus begin to break those chains. Let him begin to snap those bondages. Let him begin to give you back your territory. Territory that rightfully belongs to you. Jesus has given it to you. Jesus has given it to you. In the name of Jesus, right now, Father, would you break every chain, every bondage, every place of territory that has been taken by the enemy? We take it back right now in Jesus' name. Because of your power, because of your authority, we take it back. Enemy, you are no longer permitted in these territories. Enemy, you are no longer allowed to have jurisdiction in any of these spaces. In our physical space, in our mental space, and relationships and emotions and family, you are gone in Jesus' name. Gone in Jesus' name. Take back this territory. Friends, if that's what you want, then agree with that. Believe that today. There is freedom. There really is. There is abundant life. There really is. In Jesus' name. So before we go here, let me say this to you. This is an everyday thing. Can't be like 3 weeks from now. Well, like a few Sundays ago, I told the devil to leave. The devil will try to come back. He's been there a long time. He knows all the buttons to push on you. So every single day, don't take a break. Don't get sloppy. When the enemy rushes at you, stand firm. Stand guard. Watch out. And in Jesus' name, you will be victorious. All that territory, all that abundance, it belongs to you. Now you go get it, and now you keep it. Because Jesus Christ, who has already overcome, is able to overcome in you and for you. Heavenly Father, right now, we ask that you would seal the work that you are doing. that as the enemy tries to come and steal these things away, we already rebuke the work of the enemy. We already rebuke that work. And today and tomorrow and the day after, we will continue to surrender these things to you and to live the life that you've called us to lead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Keep at this. Keep at this. You got it.